Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. What I feel the Lord would like for us to do tonight, you know, many times in a missions conference, there can be a little bit of an emotional drain, and it can be a little bit frustrating as we in our congregation here, we want to do all that we can do, and many of us are engaged in doing it. I realize you are the Monday night crowd on a mission conference week. You guys have to be the faithful few. Amen. And thank you for being here. I know other people can't because of work or whatever, but thank you for being here. But many times there can be a little bit of a discouragement of all the work that still needs to be done around the mission field, around the world, and all the millions of people that still need to be reached. And many times we walk away feeling almost overwhelmed. We walk away feeling discouraged. Is there any hope? Is there any of an opportunity? Can we do it? Can the Lord help us? Tonight I want to encourage you that it can be. God blesses, God helps, God encourages, God equips, God provides for all that He wants us to do for Him. So tonight I would like to take a perspective from another missionary. I'd like to show you the faith of an undefeated missionary. And we're going to read some of his inspired writings in just a few minutes. Let's all stand together now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. He's in jail at this time of writing. But he has a very key phrase in the last part of that verse. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I'd like to speak now for a little while this evening on that phrase. There, the last part of verse number 9, the word of God is not bound. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would allow me now to be an encouragement and a blessing now tonight. I'm speaking now, Father, to a church who dearly loves you, Father, have sent out from their own those that would go and plant churches, those that would go overseas. They have sent their choicest out, and we thank you, Father, for the blessings you've given. Father, we all need to hear from you tonight. And I pray now your Spirit would encourage us and help us to hear directly from you. I pray, Father, that you would allow us to walk away tonight challenged, encouraged, and blessed now, Father, because we know your work that you have placed upon us is doable. It's attainable. Your great commission is possible. And help us now, Father, to do all that we can for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, the old missionary, was in prison again. It seemed that was where he spent most of his furloughs. Many a prayer letter had been written from a prison cell during his time on the field. Paul's body bore the scars of his beatings and his scourging. There have been many dangers that God had helped him through. But as he writes now, 2 Timothy, his last inspired epistle, this time seemed a little bit different. He could sense in his soul that he wasn't going to get out of this one. There's not going to be a miracle. There's no earthquake that's going to shake the prison bars this time. There's going to be no angel to guide him. His race was nearing the end. Emperor Nero was growing more and more irresponsible with every day. The judge is near that would soon condemn him. The sword is nearby that will soon take his life. His course will soon be finished. He will die for the faith. He sits down now and prepares to write his last prayer letter. His chain makes writing difficult. The gloom of his cell is a hindrance to his poor eyes. But here's the amazing thing. Paul is not discouraged. Neither the chain nor the gloom can stifle his determination as he writes. Throughout this book of 2 Timothy, there's no hesitation in his words and there's no regrets. In fact, it would seem that he is just as energized as ever. If Timothy would come and visit him, it would be Paul that would encourage Timothy, not the other way around. Although Paul is bound at this time, he proclaims through the eyes of faith that the Word of God, though, is not bound. Although Paul's career is at an end, his faith is not. His days are ebbing, but his courage is rising. The chain rattles, but his soul is free. Although he is in chains, the gospel that he has preached for many years is going into the uttermost. The world is being turned upside down. Yes, the dungeon for Paul, but the world for Christ. Paul says, I'm bound, but the Word of God is not bound. What a faith. And just like us, many times, we can feel limited though, can't we? We can feel bound at times. We just came through a period where we were extremely bound, did we not? COVID, government restrictions, sicknesses, physical limitations, perhaps heartbreak. And if, you know, if we listen to the whispers of the evil one, he can make it sound worse than it ever is. Satan is a master at making a mountain out of a molehill, isn't he? And he wants to whisper in your heart and in your ears and say, you can't do anything. You're bound. There's no way you can be able to serve God. There's no way God can be able to use your life. There's nothing that you can be able to do. And if we listen to him, we will seem completely powerless. The situation will seem worse as ever. But the thing is that God has labeled us as overcomers. The Bible says in 1 John, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Although Satan may try his best to bind us, we are more than conquerors. Amen. The Word of God is not bound. How is it not bound? As we read now through Paul and through his writings here, I would like to say, first of all, that the Word of God is not bound in spite of circumstances. If any missionary or servant of God had adverse circumstances, it was the Apostle Paul. His epistles, along with the book of Acts, is full of his mistreatment, misunderstandings, his beating, his imprisonment, being left for dead. I think I would have quit a long time before then. Can you imagine all of that and all of the mistreatment? Yet he goes to the next village. He goes to the next town. Paul says that all those things were for something special. For the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance, the continuance, the advancement, the merit, the profit for the gospel. Yes, even our adverse circumstances can give even merit or profit to the gospel of Christ if we choose to continue on and to persevere for the cause of Christ. As Christians, we often complain that sometimes circumstances are against us. How many times do you feel that way? Oh, yeah. You feel like the whole world is against us, circumstances are against us. Well, there is one comfort. Because for the servant of God, circumstances have always been against us. That's the way it's supposed to be. And by the way, Satan will be sure it is that way. Just like when I explain to our missionaries when they get ready to go for their first term, we have what's called a departure interview there at the mission. As we bring them in and try to make sure all the little the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed with all of their paperwork and all of that, and they get signed out of all the different departments. And then I have a counseling time with them, and I have a thing that I say every single time. You as missionaries, when we go to the field, we're not on the front lines of evangelism. No. Any Christian, no matter where they are, as soon as you engage someone with the gospel, boom, you're on the front lines. That's why we may need to make sure always our armor is on. Amen. You don't leave home without your armor on. We need to make sure we need to put it on. Paul says, put it on, put it on, put it on. But the missionary is different. The missionary is comparable to the paratrooper that just got parachuted behind enemy lines. He's not on the front lines. He's behind enemy lines. He's in territory that Satan has had for many, many, many years and sometimes for generations. And realize, and I tell him, I said, realize, when you go and things aren't working right, guess what? You're normal. It's not supposed to work out right. And just like the paratrooper, he's always having to adjust. Every person he sees is a potential enemy. Every situation he always has to adjust to. That's exactly what the missionary has to do, especially on their first term. Amen. I don't know how many times I've had a missionary on their first term call me and over an issue or a problem, and I'll say, now what did I say in the departure interview? I'm normal. Yes, we don't feel it. But let me say, we as Christians, when things aren't working right, it's because we are normal in this world. That is the way it's supposed to be. Satan is the prince and power of the air. And it's okay. This world is not my home. Woohoo! I'm just passing through. I like that song, don't you? And you know what? This is not our time of rest. Our rest is up there. Now it's our time to work. It's our time to labor. We are soldiers for Him. Amen. But we can feel bound. You know, it's almost every prophet in the Old Testament and almost every apostle, except the Apostle John, were within the walls of a prison cell at some time. We, like our forefathers, must boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without reservation, without hesitation, no matter we may feel limited, the Word of God is not bound. as I travel around Africa. I have been now in 42 of the 54 countries in Africa. And I visited our missionaries there, and even areas where we don't have missionaries. And I'll have to say, of all the missionaries throughout Africa that have the hardest times are those that are in the Sahara region. Many of those countries are closed doors. The region is full of adverse circumstances. When I was visiting one of our missionaries a little while ago, it was difficult. It's a strict Muslim culture there. Open evangelism is impossible. It's a way that you will get kicked out of the country or even killed. In the town where that missionary is, the local mosque there was 1,200 years old. Can you imagine a mosque that old? Many times he was sick, his wife was sick, overcome with malaria. His wife's health at that point was nearly gone. Limited? Yes. Felt bound? Yes. But the Word of God was not bound. Let me tell you, that one missionary alone translated the Bible in three different languages. Translated it into Tamazight and Tifinagh, and then a local Arabic dialect there. Still working even now on a phonetic translation. He's got radio programs that go across the Sahara, goes into five different countries there. The Muslim countries can't stop them. There's nothing physically to stop the radio signals. Can't do that in the desert. It just goes. People are reporting in and calling in and saying, how can I get more information? How can I learn more about God? People are getting saved even today. His prayer letters are filled with testimonies of people converting to Christ, people turning mosques into churches, imams coming to the Lord. The Word of God is not bound. What circumstances do we find ourselves in sometimes? All of us have some circumstances that can make us feel limited. And I'll tell you, there are some issues that can seem very real and large to us. But the gospel we preach is not bound. God is victorious. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, God says. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Oh, I like that verse. Amen. The Word of God will not return void. It will continue to spread. God's work will be accomplished. Even just in the past few years that we went through, Satan tried to close the church down, did he not? Try to do all he can to be able to close the church in other countries and other areas where it was limited and military was turned out, pastors were arrested. Satan wanted to shut down the church. But you know what? He spread the gospel, actually. Now the gospel is spreading through the internet more than it ever has. Churches that were never on the internet, now every single week, they are being streamed. There are the YouTube, Facebook, all of this are filled with gospel preaching churches that were never on the internet before. Now there's being out there. Now the Word of God is being preached. Now more than ever. People are being saved in areas where they can connect to the internet. They can understand some English, even though it may be American English. But praise the Lord, it's getting out there where people are getting saved. The Word of God is not bound. We will reap if we faint not. The Word of God is not bound by our circumstances. The Word of God also is not bound in spite of personal limitations. The Apostle Paul had his limitations. He had his health issues. Dr. Luke was always with him, was he not? Yeah. He had his thorn in the flesh. And we too also can readily acknowledge the fact that our personal limitations, without acknowledging the fact that God has equipped us with special gifts and abilities and talents. Satan wants us to focus on the things that we don't have, or abilities we don't have. I would love to be able to play the piano like he could. I'd love to be able to sing like Benjamin could. I'd love to be able to preach like Brother Rocky can. I'd love to be able to do all the things and be able to travel to California, go to Cape Verde. I'd love to be able to do all of that, but I can't. The only thing that I can do is what God has given me to do, and the only will that I can do is the will that He's given me to do. And it's easy for us to focus on what we don't have, except the fact that God has equipped us. He's given us the abilities and the spiritual gift, at least one, that He has for us to use for the betterment of the congregation that He's placed us in, betterment for the gospel to be spread. Even though we may feel limited or bound, we need to be able to see all that God has equipped us with. It's so easy to question why we don't have certain gifts and abilities. I remember my early years in Kenya. There were times when I could see the potential, but I felt like I was not reaching the potential. I felt completely inadequate for the work that God laid before me. And I haven't felt to tell the Lord, Lord, you need a David Livingston here, all right? You need a Hudson Taylor here. You need an Adoniram Judson here. Or any of the great missionaries of the past, and even today, one of our great missionaries we have in the Philippines, Rick Martin. I said, Lord, you need to bring a Rick Martin here. Why did you ask me? It was on such occasion where the Lord kind of spoke to my heart and rebuked me and said, don't you think if I needed a Hudson Taylor there, I could have sent one? But I sent you. You're equipped for the task. Sometimes you may feel that you don't have it. Sometimes you feel like you can't or you're limited. You have personal limitations, perhaps. Oh, let me tell you, the Word of God is not bound. The Bible says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He called us for a purpose and has a divine plan. We may feel limited or bound, but He is not bound. One of the times I felt probably the most limited. It was a special time on my first term. There was a young boy that passed away in our church. Our church was in a town where we had a multiplicity of different tribes that were represented in the town. But it was dominated by one particular tribe, the Kikuyu tribe. But this boy was from the Luhya tribe. And the family had just recently come from a village way off in western Kenya to be able to go and work in the university there nearby. Died of cerebral malaria, the little boy did. And the father asked me, he says, I don't know what to do. I need to take the little body back to our home village, according to our custom, to be able to bury there. Could you please help me to take the little body back to our village? Would you be willing to share the gospel there? Oh, to a first-term missionary, oh my goodness, what an opportunity. I would love to. I would love to. I said, yes, I quite readily agreed, but I should have known that there was more to the story when he said, well, we're going to have to follow some cultural precautions. I said, well, what could that be? He says, well, we can't leave until after dark. The body must be transported at night. I should have known that there was something more to the story. I agreed to do so, and the father and I, the mother was sent on ahead. The father and I got the little boy and had a little casket made and prepared there, and three of our other men that were Kikuyus, they came and sat in the back, and they were wanting to be able to come and accompany us and be able to help now in the village meeting. We left after dark, and we traveled for hours. Kenya is about the size of the state of Texas, and I felt like I had gone completely from one end to the other. It was still the wee hours of the morning, still pitch dark, as we went from tarmac road to a gravel road to a dirt road to a bicycle path. And I was weaving in between trees, following the bicycle path, trying to get to a particular village. And of course, with them, they had not driven much in the vehicle before, and to them it was always just a little bit further, just a little bit further. And I kept on going and flying until finally he says, there it is. We could spot bonfires way, way, way out in the distance. He says, that's where it's at. The village is waiting up for us. As I neared those bonfires, the people of the village could hear the vehicle, and they started the death wail. It was my first time of hearing such a cry. As it began to emanate through the entire jungle there of western Kenya, and I began to just get the reverberations of the screaming and the wailing, and as I pulled into the village, literally it looked like you just drove into a village that you would have pictured in National Geographic many years ago. It was a primitive village. It was the village that followed the witch doctor. What I was not told was that this would be the first ever Christian burial ever in that area. The people came out and they began to flock around the vehicle once again. It's pitch dark. All we can see is the light from the bonfires around. And they began to scream and to wail and to beat on my vehicle and scream and cry. And all of a sudden I heard the doors open behind me, and the three men from the other tribe that came with me to help me, they took off running. They were scared to death. This is a completely different tribe. They were totally unprepared for the cultural experience. I got out of the car. The father came around to me, and they were literally screaming, and they were rolling around on the ground. I remember a girl vividly, very vividly in front of me, wallowing around on the village path, literally foaming at the mouth, screaming and crying. And the only thing I could understand in her language was the word for white man. And I, all of a sudden, fear gripped my heart. Are they blaming me for this death? What do you do in this type of a circumstance? You pray. And I prayed really loud. I had no idea what to do. All of a sudden, I raised my hands to the heaven, and I began to pray. Not knowing their tribal language, I prayed in English. I said, God, I'm so glad you know English. As we began to pray and asking God to be able to help and him to guide, and I had no idea what I was going to experience. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea whether I was going to live out the night. As I said amen, it seemed to calm the crowd that was around the vehicle. I helped the dad get the small little coffin that was out of the back of the vehicle. And they seemed to part the way there. And we, as we begin to walk now more towards the huts that were in the village, as the bonfires on both sides. And they had prepared a large mud hut for us to go to. And we set the coffin down inside the hut. And immediately I was met with evil. Have any of you have ever been in a place where you could feel evil? You could literally, it was felt. As the witch doctor approached me. The witch doctor was a woman. Literally in a trance. She's began to circle around me. Muttering. As she had no idea what she was saying or what was happening. And she circled around me. Circled around the dad. Circled around the coffin there. And I am praying. And the entire village that night began to walk by the little coffin. After the procession was over, all the villagers had come through. They showed me another little hut that I was to sleep in that night. I only had a few hours till morning. And you asked me, did you sleep that night? Oh, no. No, no. I literally stood the remaining hours until daylight came, looking out into the dark village as the bonfires were still burning and the people were gathering around. And just thinking to myself, you know, David Livingston would have experienced something just like this. They have not gone far at all for all these years. Suddenly, a voice came out from the bush right next to me, scared me to death. And it was in English. The young man that was in the darkness behind said, missionary, I know what you're thinking. But please don't think bad of us. He says, we're not devil worshipers here. He says, but missionary, we do know Satan. We know his power. He says, tomorrow when we have the funeral, we'll have to do some certain cultural things or else we'll feel like, and we're taught by the witch doctor, that we will suffer for the rest of our life unless certain cultural things are performed. I said, I understand. I said, do me a favor. He said, what's that? I said, be sure that I am not bothered while I preach. He said, sir, I will be sure to that. I'm from the capital city. I go to the university there. When I heard about the death, according to culture, I had to return. I will be sure that you are not interrupted. And God blessed. Honestly, I was not interrupted. And for literally 3 days, I stayed in that village. Stayed in the mud hut. Ate their food. Drank their water. Preached the gospel over and over and over again. Approached the gospel from every different angle that you can imagine. Even was heckled by different witch doctors coming in from some of the other different villages around. One such a group, they all came and they were all dressed very bizarre. And they all came in and they stood in the back. And of course, it was a spectacle for me to come and preach in that area. They had never had a white person in the area there. They had never had a Christian funeral. So you can imagine, literally, I am preaching to hundreds. That's why God gave me a very big mouth. But they all came in the back there and they began to murmur and so forth. And one of the men, the father there that knew the language, he began to go back to try to calm them down and try to get them quieted. And he never quieted them. They continued to murmur, to continue to cause a disturbance. And after I was done preaching, I went to him and I said, why didn't you quiet them down? He says, oh, missionary, it was great. I said, what happened? He said, they turned on the witch doctor there and they said, every time he preaches, he reads out of that Bible that he says comes from God. Witch doctor, where's your Bible? Where's your word from God? How do we know what you're saying is true? He said, missionary, I just thought that was great. I'll let it go. But literally for 3 days, I was there preaching. We did the burial, took care of counseling and so forth to try to help there. But after 3 days, guess how many people got saved? So new. as I was leaving the village, and according to culture there, the chief would walk you out. They say in Swahili, kukusukuma, to give you a push. But that's how they politely walk you out and to your vehicle there or to wherever your mode of transportation. And the chief looked at me and he said, missionary, I appreciate you coming. I appreciate the things that you have said. He says, I'm sorry, no one from our village yet has accepted your God, but we are intrigued. I said, what's that? He says, every time you preach, you read from that big black book. He says, and you reference it over and over again. He says, missionary, those words have power. We've talked about it at night. We talked about it around the fires every night. And we can sense that there's power in the words. Missionary, can you come back? Or can you send us someone that can tell us more of the God of that book? Wow. At a time when I felt so limited. At a time when I felt so powerless. At a time when after 3 days of preaching over and over and over again and nothing happens, no results, but you know what? God was working. The Word of God was not bound. I left so thrilled. Of course, I was leaving now during the day. I could find out exactly where the village was. I was able to place it exactly, and I was able to contact another missionary nearby. And I said, listen, this is what happened. And he said, you went where? And did what? Wow. Okay, yes, I know exactly where you are. Leave it up to me. I've got guys in our Bible college. We'll go up there. And they went up there, started a ministry. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is not bound. No matter what personal limitations you may feel that you may have. No matter lack of fruit, maybe, that you see as a result of your labors. The Word of God is not bound. God will perform. God will work. The Bible is not limited by our limitations. I would say also the Word of God is not bound in spite of wrong interpretations. I'm not talking about Bible versions here. I'm talking about how some misinterpret what the Word of God says. Let me tell you, no matter what some of the false teachers say and how many times they can twist what God says, and by the way, that's dangerous. You start messing with the Word of God, you start messing with the deity of God, where the Word became flesh. Amen. Don't you mess with the Word of God. The Bible says here, if you turn to the next chapter there, and chapter 3, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Paul admonishes Timothy to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Continue thou. Continue thou. Praise God, we have the invincible, immutable, everlasting, preserved, enduring, and always relevant, amen, Word of God. Don't let anyone tell you that this Word of God is not relevant today. It is. Right here, King James, it's relevant. Amen. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Let the scoffers say what they want. Let them try to bind up, to misinterpret, to misrepresent perhaps what God's Word says, but they won't change the truth. The truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Yes, in these last days there will be scoffers. How many of you heard a few of them? Oh, yeah. There will be a falling away, but you know what? That's not going to discourage us or distract us from what God wants us to do. We just need to continue thou. continue thou in what God has called us to do. It doesn't matter what the trends are. It doesn't matter what the popular things may be. It doesn't matter what the majority may be doing. God always makes the majority. Amen. Have you ever realized that it seems like God works through a remnant? I don't know why. God doesn't have to. But He seems to. And I don't know about you, but I have pledged before God, I want to stay in that remnant. Amen. I want to be faithful to continue thou in the things. The Word of God is not bound by circumstances. It's not bound by our personal limitations. It's not bound by other people misinterpreting Scripture. It's also not bound in spite of the length of our work we do for Him. You see, Paul right now is coming to the end of his ministry. But Christianity was not coming to an end just simply because Paul was going off the scene. I'm sure Paul thought, and I'm sure it came across his mind at some point, I don't know what you guys are going to do without me. But you know what? The Apostle Paul didn't verbalize it. You know why? Because I believe for a long time, Paul had given up depending upon Paul. He writes, "It's not I, but Christ that liveth in me." You know, God's work is much bigger than you and I. Missions, world evangelism is much bigger than you or I. It's God's business. Church work is bigger than you and I. He says, I will build my church. God will build it. You may look at your group of missionaries now and you may see, well, what can they be able to do to reach the world? You may look at your congregation and say, what can we be able to do to reach the world? But let me tell you, with our eyes of faith, we can see God working in each life for His honor and for His glory. We can be able to see this generation and the next generation and the next generation following to do and continue the work for God. Thank God you're able out of your own church to be able to take people from this generation and send them on. But you know what? We need to continue. We need to continue. Why? Because we need to make sure that those little ones right there, they have something we can pass the church on to. That there is something they can be able to fellowship in. That they can be able to worship in. That they can be able to support missions in. We have to make sure it's there for them. No matter, Paul's work was coming to an end. He said the Word of God is not bound. So one day when our work is ending, you may look to your family and say, I don't know what you're going to be able to do. We may look at your Sunday school class. I don't know what you're going to be able to do. Whatever ministry that God has you in, you may wonder, what's going to happen? But you know what? We can be able, with our eyes of faith, look forward and say, the Word of God, though, is not bound. God will continue the work that He has started. You think of this church. How many years this church has been faithful. Has it gone through some hiccups? Yep. Has it gone through some trials? Yep. But the Word of God has not been bound. It is still going forth. The gospel is still being preached around the world and it's being sent out from this church. Oh, we can rest assured that His promises are not bound. Amen. His power is not bound. His wisdom is not bound. His provision is not bound. His sufficiency is not bound. What a wonderful God we serve. Our ministry may be ending, but the Word of God will continue. Though we may feel bound and limited at times, He is never. He is victorious. They keep giving the message of hope to those around us. Because that is what God has equipped us to to do. He's not bound. Let's go forward. Our Heavenly Father.